Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect.
Welcome back to Burden and Blessing Podcast. Today we're going to be doing a CPR series on an NFL quarterback who made headlines recently for a video that he posted. My name is Pastor Sam Rodebaugh, and I'm joined by my fellow pastor and friend, Pastor Mark Tiefel. Mark, how are you doing today?
Doing good, Sam. Happy to be here and to talk about this topic with you.
Yeah, so there was an article posted on Fox News, and hey, the NFL season just started this past weekend, so all of America has turned their focus to the NFL for the next several months. One player who has made headlines, probably not in ways that he wanted to, was Drew Brees, quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. And he posted a video for the group Focus on the Family. Could you tell us a little bit about what he was doing and what the initial fuss was all about?
Yeah, so obviously, most of our listeners are probably familiar with the name Drew Brees. He's one of the most famous players in the NFL right now and one of the most famous quarterbacks. But he posted a really short video. I think it was about less than 30 seconds about Bring Your Bible to School Day. There's a group of Christians that are promoting the Bible in our schools, and they're encouraging kids to bring their Bible to school, to talk about it with their friends, to express their faith, and that day happens to be October 3rd. It's still coming up here. So it was just a little promotional video about this day, and it received a lot of backlash. I'll let you explain kind of the reason why it received so much backlash.
Yeah, Drew Brees expressed his dismay at some of the headlines he was saying. You know, like you said, it was a video. He basically just, in this video, he said one of his favorite passages, and they just encouraged kids to not be ashamed of their faith, but to bring their Bibles to school. And then the next day he wakes up and sees headline, Drew Brees films video for anti-gay hate group. And so he was shooting this video for a group called Focus on the Family, a Christian group, a rather conservative Christian group. Focus on the Family has been accused of being anti-gay for a number of different reasons. Big part of the reason is because they advocate for sexual orientation conversion therapy. Mm-hmm. And naturally, because Focus on the Family does not support homosexuality from God's point of view, they're labeled as a hate group, as a bigoted anti-gay group.
Yeah, I think that gets to, you know, the two reasons behind it. Focus on the Family stands for the biblical principle of marriage, and we know that the Bible clearly expresses that marriage is to be one man, one woman, for life. That's God's desire. That's God's commandment. And this strikes to more than just, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, homosexuality issues. It also, you know, that biblical principle goes to issues of living together before marriage. How do I conduct myself with members of the opposite sex? How do I conduct myself within my marriage? You know, speaking against divorce. So the biblical ethic of marriage in the Bible speaks to a lot more than just gay issues, and yet that's what seems to be zeroed in on the most. So Focus on the Family, by standing for that biblical principle, is naturally opposed to gay marriage, which the Bible is opposed to. And then the second aspect, like you mentioned, is they have stood for or promoted what's called conversion therapy. That sounds really bad, like you're trying to brainwash somebody. But basically, right. what conversion therapy is for somebody who's struggling with homosexual desires, it gives them an opportunity to try to change some of those habits, to try to change some of those behaviors. And most of the time, from what I'm familiar with, conversion therapy is done by people who are wanting to change. It's not like forcing somebody against their will. And so, but you hear that phrase conversion therapy thrown out there, and you get these images of somebody being strapped to a gurney in a mental ward and being shocked into submission. It's not at all what they're standing for, but simply trying to help Christians who are struggling with this and who believe this to be contrary to what God wants, to try to change their lifestyle, to change their desires and their orientation in that way.
Yeah, imagine a Christian who is struggling with temptation and doesn't want to struggle with temptation, and so willingly enters or seeks help.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, because that help is offered, this is considered a hate group, a big
group. And the alternative to that is that we're supposed to affirm and promote all matters of orientation. So if somebody has, you know, feels like, you know, they may be attracted to a member of the same sex, or if somebody in a transgender issue, if somebody feels like they may be a boy, may be a girl, we're supposed to just automatically affirm and promote and do whatever we can to allow them to think that way and to promote that. And there's studies that show that that's not healthy either, that sometimes people are confused. Sometimes there's other issues going on that need to be addressed. And so to simply say, to check all the boxes and say, yep, do whatever you want, that's not wise or healthy either. So, but because they in the past have advocated for those principles, they're considered nowadays a hate group. And I don't know if that's all that surprising to a lot of our listeners who are Christians, who follow the Bible. And this is just another example of similar things that have happened in our culture.
Yeah, in this Fox News article, it said that the Christian Post in 2018 cited a study that suggested that sexual orientation change efforts have improved the mental health of Christian men who have struggled with sexual identity issues. So there's this Christian Post article that is supporting these conversion therapy practices. And again, this is, you know, the people against Focus on the Family would say that these claims are dubious at best, and that they're not helping.
Yeah.
Of course, as Christians, we all, you know, we are all very, very aware of the struggle of sin in our lives. We all know very intimately the feeling of guilt. Every single one of us has found ourselves in situations where there was a sin on the doorstep. We knew it was wrong, and yet we thought, you know, maybe this would feel pretty good to do this anyways. And it doesn't.
Yeah.
The guilt is far worse than any pleasure that sin could bring. So I think their claim is probably accurate, that the conversion therapy, the seeking out help to fight against temptation, this helps people out, because the long-lasting guilt of falling into sin, especially repeated sin, the long-lasting guilt that's associated with that, that is going to hamper you mentally. It's this whole claim of conversion therapy working and being beneficial for people, it's mocked and derided, but I think it's probably accurate if it is indeed entered by a true Christian who does indeed want to change for the right reasons, but the right reason being, you know, love for Christ.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're both familiar that conversion is a biblical word, and it's something that Christians look at as a positive thing, that we are all, before we're Christians, we need to be converted to the faith by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so that, like you mentioned, that same lesson, that same principle is analogous to so many other areas of life, not just sexual ethics, but any type of sin that a person struggles with. We need that daily renewal, that daily repentance. And can you imagine having, you know, somebody struggling in sin and coming to you as pastor, and one of your jobs is to help them with that and lead them in what God says, and just reaffirming what that sin is and saying, keep on doing it. And can we imagine calling that the loving attitude, the loving thing?
No.
And yet that's how twisted our world has become in matters of sexual ethics, that is to tell somebody what God says is considered the hateful thing to do.
Yeah. So if you were... Now, we have churches within our fellowship that have been accused of being an anti-gay hate group before, correct? And perhaps there have been people in our services that left thinking the same thing. If you were accused of this, just like Focus on the Family and Drew Brees, how should a Christian respond to this really common accusation that you, because you stand on the Bible, are a bigot or an anti-gay hater?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question, because I can guarantee every Christian who stands for their faith is going to face that at some point. And Jesus himself said if they rejected the master, they're going to reject the servants. You know, he said, you're going to be hated for my name's sake. You know, the early apostles in the book of Acts said, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So this is not a new thing for Christians. But sometimes Christians nowadays get so shocked by that when they experience that, because they're so entrenched in the culture. You know, we're so used to hearing terms described by our culture and hearing the definitions used in those ways. And that's why it's so important. We got to go back to how God uses those words. And what I like to do is point people to just the basic concept of love. What is love really according to God's word? Because what happens is we get so, you know, entrenched in what the culture says is love that we end up making that our definition and losing sight of what God has said is love. And you look anywhere in the Bible, when you stand for the word of God, that is considered the height of love for others, is to show them what God says and to show them, most importantly, what God has done for them. And so I would try to bring them back and just get them to want to ask themselves in their heart, what really is the loving action? You know, is telling somebody that they can do whatever they want to do and that we accept whatever they want and we promote whatever they want, is that really a loving thing to do? Is that how a parent would raise their kid? Is that how we would treat other issues in life where we have to say something's right or wrong? Do you just affirm whatever somebody wants?
Right.
If that's not what we would do in other circumstances of life, if that's not what God does, why are we doing that in terms of sexuality? That's the question that really needs to be asked. And then you get down to the point where you can introduce to them to tell somebody what God says, even the law, is not an unloving thing to do.
Right. Yeah, this whole idea of love, biblical perspective of love, it's so mixed up, even among Christians. And you see it in Drew Brees' responses. And he posted some videos after this initial video came out and after these initial claims. He went on his personal Twitter page and posted an interview of just himself explaining his position on Christianity and homosexuality and all these different things. And, you know, he expressed what I think most people believe the Christian church is all about, even Christians. You know, he said, you know, what my faith is about, what my Christianity is about is two things. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself, which Jesus would tell us, those are the two tables of the law. He says, yeah. You know the law. How do you summarize the law? Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. So Drew Brees is saying, my Christian faith is about obeying the law. Now, I've seen other people, I've heard other Christians make this claim that this is the heart of the gospel, is love. Yeah. Loving God and showing love to one another. And really, it's not. That's really just the heart of the law. And yes, the law is one of the two main doctrines of the Bible, and the law is heavily involved in our lives, and it has a very important place in our lives. But that is not what our faith is about. You know, love is the heart of the gospel when it comes from God to us. But when we're talking about our love for one another, all we're really talking about is the law, and as the Apostle Paul says, by the works of the law, no one can be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you mentioned there, and I think it's really worth pointing out about his response. And I like Drew Brees a lot. I'm not a Saints fan, but I like the way – I like him as a football player. I like the values that he stands for. I think he's a good role model in our society.
And historically, he's been one of the better Christian football players.
Yeah, he's considered – even by non-Christians, he's recognized as a Christian example. And right. I think he's been a very good Christian example. But I did find his response quite lacking. You could tell he was upset. He was frustrated. And very, very similarly to the way you put it, with the law, he kept going back again and again to, this is not how I live my life. Look at how I live my life. And that was kind of his standard of what it means to be a Christian. Because really what was happening here and he even recognized this as a blessing, is there was a spotlight put on his faith.
Right.
And, you know, he was frustrated at what happened, but he was also thankful for the opportunity to talk about his faith, to promote this Bring Your Bible Back to School, Back to Your School event coming up. But it felt like he tripped up in how he described the faith, because, you know, he never mentioned what Christ does.
Right.
He never, like you mentioned, he never mentioned the true gospel, which is God's unconditional love, not the love that we deserve because we kept the law or because we've lived our life well or because we've listened to his word perfectly. It's the unconditional gospel. There was nothing of that in his response. And if you don't have that, you can't be accurate in what it means to be a Christian. So I appreciated his boldness to step up and say, these are the principles I stand for. I'm not going to back down from the Bible. But at the same time, your faith has got to be more than just what you do. It's got to be more than the law, even the law that sounds nice. You know, he didn't mention the you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery. Those are laws, too. He mentioned the laws that sound good.
Right.
The laws that are popular in our culture, you know, do good to others, treat others as you would have them treat you, be a good person, be nice, that type of stuff. That sounds really good. It gives us fuzzy feelings inside maybe, but it's still the law, like you mentioned. And what does the law do in every circumstance? It condemns. It shows our sin.
Yep.
And he never brought the gospel out. And I think your criticism of that in his response is spot on.
Yeah, he ended his response. He said, to me, being a Christian is love. It's forgiveness. It's respecting all. It's accepting all. And, you know, understanding the position that he's in as – I'm not excusing him for leaving out the gospel. But understanding the position that he's in as one of the most popular sports figures in America and all of a sudden having the spotlight right on him and all these accusations flying – I understand from a worldly standpoint the position he took. You know, he's really riding the fence now. Being a Christian is about forgiveness, and sure, there's respect involved and there's acceptance involved. And I think from a Christian perspective, you could understand that correctly. Of course, many of the people who are opposed to Christianity hear those things and they're rejoicing because it sounds like what Drew Brees is saying is that we should accept and love and support anyone regardless of whatever sexual orientation or whatever lifestyle they choose to live. Now, the Bible does, you know, does tell us we are not to be hating our enemies or hating anyone. We should be loving them. But like you brought up earlier, the best way to show love is to point out their sin. And to point them to the Savior.
Sometimes it has to be tough love. Yeah.
It certainly does. You know, if you love your neighbor, you want to see them in heaven. And if you instead are placing your relationship with them on this earth, on this pedestal as the one thing you don't want to ruin, and you're putting God's word below it, now all of a sudden you're jeopardizing their eternal future. Just for the sake of some friendly relations between you here on this earth. And, you know, really, that's idolatry.
Yeah.
Because suddenly you're idolizing your relationship and the way people look at you, and you're putting that above God and what God says.
Yeah. I mean, we should be clear. There are groups that hate gay people.
Yeah.
In the strict sense of the word, and persecute them and mistreat them
and picket at funerals and
yeah there are, but I think that seems to be what people automatically jump to, and the assumption is there that all Bible believing marriage ethical principle holding Christians do that kind of thing, and that's not the case at all. Those groups like the Westboro Baptist Church,
right,
that do those explicit hateful things, those are the minority of Christians. And so it's possible, like you mentioned, it's possible that that's what Drew Brees is talking about when he says, I do not support those groups that discriminate or promote inequality. But at the same time, he also said in his interview, whatever you believe, it doesn't matter. He's going to accept you. He's going to love you. He's going to respect you. That's not a Christian principle either. That's not following Christ either. Like you said, what that really is this idolatry.
Yeah.
And again, we're not saying that Drew Brees was trying to do that. I don't know what was going on in his heart or what exactly he was thinking about when he was on the spot here. But we have the right and should look at what a person says and what confession they make, and, you know, recognize the sufficiency of that or the insufficiency of it. And I think that there are too many vague things about his response that leave it open to both sides. And frankly, I didn't know at the end of his video if he was constituting Focus on the Family as a hate group or not. He never mentioned them.
Right.
He never said they were or they weren't, but they aren't. They are not a hate group. You know, we have churches in our synod that have used their resources for. I've used resources from them. They're not a hate group. It doesn't mean everything that they say is the best or perfect by any means, but they do not hate gay people.
Right.
I don't believe they do. And so I think it would have been okay for him to say that he supported them, but it just seemed like he was still trying to distance himself from their position, which, in my opinion, really is the biblical position.
Yep. Yeah. You know, when you're put on the spot, I think every single one of us has probably left certain things unsaid that should have been said. So, you know, Drew Brees, if you're listening, we can hope. Yeah, we're not tar and feathering you here. We understand, but, you know, it does give us an opportunity to talk about these things. You know, some of the things you just said reminded me of the last video that was posted in this Fox News article, which was the official Focus on the Family response by their mm-hmm. by their leader, Jim Daly,
president
of Focus on the Family, Jim Daly, and he had a rather good response for the most part. You know, he did bring up the fact that in 2019, particularly in America, if you disagree with someone, you are labeled hateful, which mm-hmm. really should not be the case. You know, we should not just automatically agree with everything and everyone, or else, I mean, just thinking about it from a worldly standpoint, our society will crumble under this groupthink theology that people have submitted themselves to. But you know, what were some of the things that you thought that you saw in that video that you appreciated?
Well, I appreciated that Jim Daly brought out, he said very clearly, we do not hate gay people. He made that very clear, and he said that standing for one man, one woman for life, as the Bible presents marriage, is not a hateful thing. And I also appreciate he brought out the direct gospel. Unlike Drew Brees, he mentioned Jesus. He talked about Jesus dying for our sins. He talked about the need for repentance. He mentioned those things, which I think you have to do if you're trying to describe what it means to be a Christian. So I appreciated those things that he mentioned, but you're right. Everybody has their stance on right versus wrong. You know, some of the meanest people in my life have been socially some of the most tolerant people in name. And so it's very ironic how that works. And Drew Brees mentioned the same thing, that how is it that people who are standing against hate are being so hateful in the way that they're doing it? And that's really the double standard that is there. That's probably worth, you know, some other podcast entirely. We could talk about that whole principle at length in a whole different podcast. But, you know, that's the other thing that I really want young people to pick up from this too, is the world's going to tell you can't say right versus wrong according to your Christian faith. That's a total fabrication, though, because everybody has their standard of what is right versus wrong. It's just a question of, what is your foundation for that? Even the most tolerant, the most accepting, the most loving, promoting people of any lifestyle still has their standards of morality based on what they consider to be unchangeable principles. And the question is, what do you go back to? As Christians, we unashamedly say, we go back to the Bible. That is the standard that I can show you. For somebody else who doesn't rely on the Bible, it's take it or leave it, basically. It's up to the individual.
Yeah, I would like to have a podcast on this topic in the future, but this whole idea of, you know, if you don't agree with someone, you're being judgmental, you're being hateful, all these different things, and, you know, we do live in an era where society will pounce on one thing. Any person who speaks out against anything will be pounced on and be told that that's wrong. But, you know, really, what is this? Like you said, every group, no matter how open, quote-unquote, open-minded they are still judging something else based on their own morality. Many times it's judging Christians for believing in the Bible, for standing on the Bible. But, you know, we stand on God's word. In the book of Jude, it says the archangel Gabriel wasn't casting a reviling accusation against the devil, but he said, "The Lord rebuke you." And that's what our focus is, or it ought to be anyways. We're not saying, you know, gay people, I think that you are weird for this and this and this reason, and you're worse than me. We're saying God says this is a sin. That is not a improper judgment to make. That is God's judgment. We're relaying it as he wants us to do. Any type of judgment that is made outside of Scripture is really just an exercise in self-righteousness. It's just an exercise of, I think this is wrong. Yeah, I think you're wrong for saying this is wrong, and all you're doing is promoting yourself in your own view. Mm-hmm. And that would be an improper accusation to make.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to just, if anybody who's listening to our podcast, you know, disagrees with some of the positions we've made or thinks that we're not being loving in what we're trying to present, just go back to the Bible, look at what God says about these topics, look, you know, get a concordance out, look up the word love, look at what God says about love, look up the word faith, see what Jesus says about following what he stands for. I think you'll see time and time again, it's impossible to be a Christian if you're operating by your own standard of morality, if you're not following the word of God, no matter how difficult in a particular culture it is to follow that word. So, you know, we're, you know, kind of like Drew Brees, we're not trying to be unloving. We're not trying to send the wrong message. Some people may not agree with the way we present it, but just do us the favor of going and looking at the source that we're citing. Go to the Bible and just take a diligent look at what God says. It's actually very, very clear.
Yeah. You know, like Drew Brees said, we strive to live our lives by two principles: love God, love your neighbor. Of course, take a step back and realize that in every aspect of my life and your life and all of our lives, we have failed to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. And thankfully, this is what Christianity is all about, that even that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were not his friends, we were his enemies. You know, that is love. A faithful God who loved a faithless people who did not love him. And so going forward, yeah, we don't have to agree with everyone. We ought to agree with God's word. And when people disagree with God's word, the most loving thing we can possibly do is to try and point them back to the one who died for them and pray that the Holy Spirit will work in their hearts and help them to realize this and to grow in faith and to believe that they have salvation and their only hope for salvation through their Savior Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for being with us today, everyone. We invite you to join us on Mondays and Fridays. Mondays for our Word of the Week, as well as our other podcasts on Friday mornings. May the Lord richly bless each one of you in your ongoing study of His glorious Word.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the Word.